Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex, and Matt is getting heckled.
Yeah, indeed I am. What better way to start the 2-year anniversary of Game Junkies Podcast?
Isn't it?
Absolutely mad. This week, me and Alex, as I just said, are celebrating our 2-year anniversary of this cluster of madness, where we basically show up and talk rubbish about games for up to an hour. If you want actual insight in gaming, you're in the wrong week. You're on Chris's week for that, really. But we have managed to spawn Dungeons & Junkies out of it, Alex. So, you know, we've not done too badly out of it. And, you know, this is a lot of fun. And you've come a long way, the podcaster, dude. So, well done, mate.
I mean, I suppose you've done okay. You could have done a bit more improvement.
Okay. Do you need me to go through my resume again? Or are we good? Can I go through my resume again? People are going to turn off. So, instead of doing that, how about we talk about some news?
Yes, what?
Okay, so I've got a couple of things to talk about. One of which you were saying boring about. But to be fair... Alex, just hear me out because this is actually quite funny.
All right, I'll let you have a go with this one.
We've talked about before about EA and what they've done with like loot boxes and things in the past, which is, you know, borderline gambling. Obviously, as I said before, Chris has talked about loot boxes and this on his show and does a far better job than we can of just slagging them off, basically. However, in the last week, leading footballers such as Gareth Bale and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, which would mean nothing to you, I don't know, but are consulting their lawyers about use of their names and images in the FIFA series from EA Sports, because EA are making a profit on their names and faces without any agreement to actually include them in the games.
That's not a very good one, actually, if you think about it.
EA says they have contractual rights to include the likenesses of all players currently in our games. However, the footballers in question have begged to differ. Players recently won a settlement of 6.5 million Brazilian real, which is basically just under £1 million, about $1.5 million to Americans, after the Union of Athletes of Santa Catarina brought a case against EA in court. Now, whether Alex is a player of the game or not, he knows that FIFA sells a lot of copies year in, year out. In the game itself, there's over 700 actual footballers, 700 teams, all officially licensed for playing competitions such as the Premier League, Champions League, other popular games such as Pro Evolution Soccer, they pay for their licenses and some official team and competition names. Prime example, have you heard of Juventus, Alex?
No, I haven't.
I won't say it's a surprise. You don't do football. But Juventus are one of the oldest and most successful football teams in the world. For legal reasons, they can't be in FIFA because Pro Evo has the exclusive rights to use their name, which I think is hilarious. There is going to be a lot in this in general. What amazes me is that Gareth Bale had a problem with this thing. He'd been on the cover of the actual game back in 2013. I'm going to be interested to see what happens with this. EA are old enough trouble as it is without having to deal with a rights issue as well as a gambling issue. So I'll be keeping an eye on that. I'm pretty sure Alex couldn't care less, but it's one more thing that EA could really do without right now. On to another piece of news, Alex. Red Dead Redemption 2. It's a game which you've dabbled in a bit, but not massively. Am I right?
No, I wanted to get into it, and I couldn't really get that into it. It's a beautiful game, and a lot of the realism makes it fantastic, including that mission where you get drunk in search for Lenny. That was very fun.
Right.
But then the ending got spoiled for me less than a week into the game, and I thought, you know, I can't be fucked with this. And then I dabbled in online, which is where I'm guessing this is going to.
This is indeed. This news has broken. Red Dead Redemption 2 online multiplayer mode will soon be available to purchase on its own for PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and both Xbox Series consoles.
This has angered a lot of people, and I'm kind of confused on why. I mean, it should be free. I understand that, but
it's not free, Alex.
I know, it's a fiver, isn't it?
$5.
Yeah, so it's not a lot of money in relative to games, is it?
Well, it's technically speaking, no, it's not $5. Technically speaking, it launches on the 1st of December and will cost $20. However, for the first few months until the 15th of February next year, so basically 2.5 months, it will be 75% off, so it'll be $5. So
I'll get my point out on this. I don't think it's a lot of money in relative to games and DLC and standalones that you get now. I mean, Miles Morales, I know that's a slightly up, but that's more than $20 on the older game, on the older generation. But the point is, if you don't want the big exclusive, like the big main game, for example, for me, it was spoiled, so I just wasn't really interested in playing after that. So if you don't want that and you want to go on online and make a custom character and, quite frankly, grief players, because what else is there to do on Red Dead Redemption Online?
There's more stuff coming, apparently.
Then it's a cheap and easy way to play the game for other people. If you don't want the big game, I think it's a big bonus, and you're not paying much for it anyway in relative to other games. So I think it's a bad marketing idea. It's a shame for the people who already are that enveloped in the both of them, so that they've now got to pay for it, which that does suck.
Well, from what I can tell, Alex, here, I can read from a press release here, Red Dead Online will be sold through the PlayStation Store, Xbox Store, Rockstar Games Launcher, Steam, and Epic Games Store. So every single one that sells the game. It includes the full Red Dead Online experience with no differences from what you'd get by owning the Red Dead Redemption 2 as it stands now. So you can still play
it. People who already have it, from what that sounds like, get it for free anyway. So I don't think it's a big thing.
You've already paid for the game itself.
Yeah, so but they're not going to charge you on top.
But if you... No, so if you haven't got Red Dead though, and you want to play Red Dead Online, you haven't got to buy the full game to do that. So no, I kind of see the appeal on that side of things.
Yeah, it's a clever idea.
But the standalone version will also offer the option, if they want to purchase Red Dead Story Mode, which includes single player campaign, but at current, a price has not been shared. Red Dead Online will require 123 gigabytes of free space to install.
Jesus. That's modern games, isn't it?
That, Alex, is more than Red Dead Redemption 2.
How?
I don't
know. Is that possible?
I don't know. There's no word specific on the enhancements you'll get on PS5 or the Xbox Series consoles. But those platforms do support the game through backwards compatibility, so that's not too much of a problem. It's quite a big deal, of course, for Rockstar, of course, because of course GTA Online has not been available to be separated from GTA 5. There is a standalone version coming in 2021, apparently. And of course, GTA Online itself has got quite a large update coming on the 15th of December.
Which we're bound to be talking about.
And we're bound to be playing as well, Alex. This is something which we're both extremely excited about. Because, of course, it's no secret now, it's out about. It's a new heist in a new part of the map.
And you can tell it's going to be a big DLC. Because DLCs, at the absolute max, is normally announced a week before, isn't it?
This has been about a month in advance.
So you can tell it's big. What I'm hoping, though, my only concern is, if this map expansion is only playable in the campaign, not campaign, I'm so used to
D&D. I know what you mean, dude.
Yeah, the missions. If it's not usable in free roam, that's going to be really disappointing.
I don't mind if that is the case, but it seems it because that would be disappointing a little bit, but you literally go, you better do stuff.
There is more playability if they have it featured in free roam as well, I think. Perhaps you have to do the heist first.
I imagine that would be the case, yeah.
They really are going to cut out the playability of this if they don't feature that through free roam.
Of course, getting back to Red Dead Online quite quickly, they are expanding the bounty hunters and stuff, and there is a lot more expansions to that area of Red Dead Online when it launches the standalone December 1st. So they've announced the update will introduce 10 more bounty hunter ranks, new legendary bounties, and 100 rank outlaw paths to fill out. You'll be able to start with new prestigious equipment, tracking down a new slew of criminals and reprobates, and in preparing for it, all bounty hunter missions will be double XP this week. You're listening to it, people, so you've got more chance to join up with your friends and earn increased Red Dead Online dollars and XP for any free events on top of the bounties. Or in Alex's case, just lassoing me hog time and then throwing it off a bridge. Which was hilarious. It was hilarious. I think that's enough talking about news for now, because we now want to get to what it should be quite an interesting topic, I think, which of course is the top three games we'd rather be playing right now than the actual games that are being released.
So, on the main part of this show, we are going to be talking about the top three games we'd rather play than what's currently out. Mainly Valhalla. Much as I like it, I'm just going to say it.
We've both been playing Valhalla. It's a great game. Beautiful, in fact. Especially on our new Xboxes, X and S's. But but Alex started playing some retro games rather than Valhalla. Which is why I thought, that gives me an idea for a topic. And because of it's such a big topic, of course, that it's more than you and me can handle. So we've invited fresh from her exploits in various campaigns on Dungeon Junkies, we welcome Kerry to the show. Hey, Kerry.
Howdy.
It's always good to have you on board. Always good. You have been an absolute ray of sunshine in this dark world we've been in 2020. Thank you very much, my dear, for coming along.
Happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
It was an absolute pleasure. Right. So, Alex, who should go first? Maybe our guest should go first.
Would you like to go first?
Okay.
Okay, so in no particular order, what is your top... It can be in order you want, but what is your first pick?
First pick is a game I'm slightly envious for viewers. I don't own an Xbox, not yet. I'm saving for one. But I'm going to pick Banjo-Tooie for the Nintendo 64. It was the first game I ever completed 100%. And I still think it stands today.
Ooh, what about Go on.
I'm going to join you in that topic because that is the game that I've been playing currently. Because I was playing Valhalla and then I thought I could do with a break from this. So I was jumping from new games and I was thinking none of this is working. So I jumped onto Banjo-Tooie on Sunday last week, and I managed to spend about 8 hours on it straight. So I completely get where you're coming from on there.
So what about Banjo stood out to you so much, though, Kerry?
It was a game I played over and over and over again when I was younger, and it's the sort of game I've played on emulator quite a few times since.
Naughty Kerry.
No, emulators are not bad. they're not exactly good.
They're not great, but they're for people like me who don't currently own an Xbox. I've never really put enough effort into it to complete it 100% again, but I like it. I mean, there's a boss that's a giant inflatable dinosaur. You have a sentient welding torch.
I hate Patch so much. I mean, Patch and Welder are just the worst bosses out there. I hate them.
My favourite is Lord Wu Fak Fak, the anglerfish. I love his theme.
He's like, I can't see. And then he opens his eyes. He's like, oh, wait, I can't see. I'm going to kill you now. It's a game that doesn't let anything... You, in your imagination for craziness, you have, like, a set goal on most games.
Yeah.
But Banjo-Tooie, again and again, sort of beats that goal of, like, driving imagination over the top.
Mm.
It's like a mix between Adventure Time and, let's say... Normally I wouldn't say the regular show, but that was pretty out there sometimes. It's like a mix between that, but mine was better than the regular show in Adventure Time.
Okay.
I mean,
it's great, isn't it?
You're a bear and a bird going around to collect the magical jigsaw pieces and fight the weird sentient objects as bosses. It was even better way back when I actually had a Nintendo 64, because it has a multiplayer mode on it. And that was some of the best.
There was one character called a ginger, which is about half the size of everything else that you could play as in the multiplayer.
It's like a tiny elf goblin thing.
But the hitboxes are that accurate that when someone plays a ginger, you can hit them because they're half the size of you. So you have half the hitbox, basically. You have half the hitbox.
I mean, if you got back far enough, you could just knock them out. You could hit, fire at them.
So that's your first pick then, Kerry, is it?
Yeah.
Fine pick indeed. Fine pick. Alex, what's your first pick?
Well, I sort of gave my first pick already, which was Banjo-Tooie, so I'll let you go next.
Okay, I shall take my first pick. I'm going to go to... I had a lot of things I could have chosen here. I've got a lot of honorable mentions. But because we decided that we were going to go back the earliest we can be, as in from here to the past sort of thing, we said the 360 and the PS3 backwards, didn't we, Alex? We said that was the level to go with. So many I could have chosen. My first pick, though, goes back to the Mega Drive and the Genesis, actually. My pick is Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Nice.
Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is a game which I can still play to this day, and it is not boring. Even when you have played that game as many times as I have, I can literally sprint through Emerald Hill Zone Act 1 in 45, 50 seconds. It's not a world record speed. People could do it much faster than that. But you just take off and you just keep going, keep going, keep going. And you can do it without getting hit as well. And if you get hit, it's still done in less than a minute. But not only for the amazing single player, because that was really well done, even for his time in stand-up now. You've also got Tails making his debut. And as Alex found out this year, I only realised this year that Tails' actual name is actually a terrible joke. I didn't know, but it didn't click in my head. Miles Prower didn't click in my head. Didn't click for some reason. Nothing just didn't click. And so, oh yeah, it was really sad. But not only all of that amazing stuff in it, you can also plug it into Sonic and Knuckles and get Knuckles to play in the same game, which is great. It's the multiplayer, as in the versus mode, where you can play versus each other on split screen. The amount of times me and my brother used to play Sonic versus Tails the whole time, it was phenomenal. And you could have your item boxes be like regular ones, like Stardust and Speed Shoes, or you could have them be teleport only. So every time you found a box, you would swap places with them. Occasionally, my brother decided to sit beside an item box while I was running to the finish and decided to use the teleport as I was crossing the line. Jackass that he was.
Sibling love, isn't it beautiful?
I'm pretty sure that you guys are exactly the same.
Yeah, we
were evil.
We were evil.
But Sonic 1 was amazing. But Sonic 2 really built on it. It's obviously backwards compatible. You can go and get it right now on the Xbox stores and I believe also on the PlayStation store as well. And even on the Switch eShop. There is no excuse for not having Sonic 2 in your collection. It is a classic and everyone should be playing it at least once a year.
Nice.
Okay, so if Alex has already done his, Kerry, your second choice, I guess.
Okay, I had to have at least one Pokemon game in my list. And
we'll be judgmental here. Which one?
The one I picked was Pokemon Silver, and I have my reasons for this.
Okay, I had Pokemon Gold in my collection, so why did you choose the inferior version?
Wow, rude. Okay.
I'm joking, of course.
I know.
Both games have their merits, so why did you choose Pokemon Silver of all the ones you could have picked?
Honestly, part of it was a slight emotional attachment to that game. My nan bought it for me years and years and years ago as a present. And I had this game back when my Game Boy was purple and ran on AA batteries.
Can relate.
Which always ran out at the worst moment.
Yeah.
I think it was a fairly solid game for its time, especially the fact you could go back and fight all the Kanto gym leaders as well when you'd done all the Johto stuff. And if you're an idiot like me and picked Cyndaquil as your starter every time, you get your ass kicked by Whitney.
As much as I adore Totodile and Chikorita, I even bought Chris Chikorita for the first Christmas we spent together. Cyndaquil is absolutely adorable, and I'm sorry, but how can anyone not love the evolved forms it grows into? Just like with Charmander. You've got to just suck it up for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Charmander is the best in Kanto. No one can persuade me otherwise.
Apart from Squirtle.
They all
Slash, your opinion is trash.
they all have a merit, Alex. But because you normally have the rock-type gym leaders first in those early games, it certainly is quite tricky to get a fire-type past them. Yeah. So,
I mean...
It is. I relate to that one, definitely.
Even in Gold and Silver, the first gym leader was flying, but he still had Mud Slap.
Which is not good for fire type, definitely.
No.
Okay. That's a great choice, though, Kerry. Absolutely great. Remind me, who were the legendaries in Silver?
You had Entei, Suicune, and Raikou. And you also had Ho-Oh, Lugia, and Celebi, but I think... That was more of a mystery gift type thing.
That was the Mythicals was basically like Japan only back then, wasn't it?
Mm.
It was very hard to get it if you weren't in Japan back then, because you didn't have the trade-in system you have nowadays.
That's a good point. I remember the old days where you used to have those weird purple cables.
Yes! Link cable type things.
And then even when it did become wireless, you basically had to smash your Nintendo DSs together, otherwise they wouldn't connect if they were more than 3 feet apart.
Alex and I have memories of violently smashing our DSs together to get them to work.
Oh, what great machines they were.
They were phenomenal machines, absolutely. Right, okay, great, great pick, Miss Kerry. Okay, Alex, who is your second pick? Which game have you chosen from your archive?
I'm actually going to continue the Pokemon thing and to praise the Nintendos that you had to bash together to get to Kinect. And talk about Pokemon Pearl.
Oh my god!
I guess Pokemon Diamond. I will give a shout out to Platinum because that was fantastic and it polished off the rest. But Pokemon Pearl is the first one I played.
Pokemon Pearl is the first game I played after Gold.
It's not the first ever Pokemon game I played. The first one I ever played was Ruby. But the first it was the first Pokemon game I played from start to finish in basically 100 plus hours into.
We got you that game from Woolworths. That's how long ago that was.
If I can remember correctly, my original team was a Torterra, a Crobat, a Sneasel, because I didn't know how to evolve Sneasel into Weavile. What else did I have? Obviously Palkia, because you just couldn't have a legendary back then, not. Luxray. And I had, what was he called? That's going to bug the shit out of me now.
Give us a description.
Oh, that's going to bug me.
It wasn't Staraptor or anything like that, was it?
It was Staraptor. That was my original team. I loved that team. And then they might be gone, but they are never gone from my heart.
Gone but not forgotten.
That was just a huge jump in Pokemon games, like in the storytelling department.
Yeah, it was, definitely.
I think a rather big up in difficulty as well. Because I did play through Ruby and I thought it was relatively easy. Like having a typed like final, though he did have rock types, which did make it awkward. It wasn't really till we got to this game where I think typing in the Elite Four got a lot harder.
Shout out to Pokemon Emerald for having a water type champion. Why?
That sucked. Why? Wallace sucked. I'm never going to disagree with that. Wallace was crap.
One thing that I always found interesting about Pearl was that obviously you've come across Palkia or Dialga, depending on which game you had. You obviously came across them in the middle of the game, technically speaking, which normally the legendary, you don't get to the end. Or certainly near the end.
If you remember, what was it? If you remember Black and White, if you played Black and White,
no,
you... fair enough. You didn't get the legendaries until after sort of beating the Elite Four. Because you beat the Elite Four, you're about to fight the champion, he's got beaten, and then boom, bad guy unveils. And then you catch the legendary then. So you don't get the legendary till right at the end of the game.
Same for Zacian and Zamazenta, of course.
Oh yeah, you didn't even get... Yeah, you caught a Pokemon that wasn't even featured before you caught them. I mean, the box cover legendaries you didn't get till the post-game. But we're getting off topic. I don't think any other Pokemon game has been quite like... I'm going to say the original four, because the original four were just such standouts. But obviously my main one is Pearl.
Pearl is a really good shout, Alex. Really good shout.
And shout out to Dialga, because Dialga has Roar of Time. Oh, yeah. So.
I had Diamond.
My only complaint was the fact that the seventh badge was electric type. And when you have a Torterra, you just steamroll the entire thing. Because Torterra gets Earthquake at level 33, I believe. You steamroll that entire gym.
Shout out to Empoleon for being crap at that point.
I'm sorry, but Water and Steel is just such an odd typing.
It is, right.
I will also give a quick mention to the fact of I own Pearl, of course. I got it while I was recovering from, I got my DS and Pearl when I was recovering from surgery. So I was laid up on the sofa for about 2 months. So while I was happening, I played Pearl, really enjoyed it. Started to do some competitive battling, much like Alex used to do. And then I was like, I need some shinies, basically. So I went on eBay. And I haven't discussed this about before on this show. I actually spent actual money and bought two sets of all the legendaries in the game and all the shinies possible, all the set with pokers and everything like that. And I played against some people and they would not finish playing the game with me. They would quit because I had these shinies and these rares and they were not happy.
We've all done that. Not necessarily in Pokemon, but we've all done that with a certain game. We can admit that.
Yeah. Thing is, though, that my Pearl got corrupted as well, so I lost all of it. So I was even I was pissed.
That was quite a common thing, though, back then.
It was.
With the whole data being saved on the game cartridge instead of the machine itself. Which is why I'm glad they got rid of that system.
In our house, you'd quite often hear one of us screaming, "Oh my god, no!" because something had gotten lost.
That was more of a Game Boy thing than a DS. Yeah. Thing. It wasn't too common on the DS, but it did happen.
But I will be, as soon as some of them bad boys turn up in the Legendaries gym in Sword and Shield, and let's face it, they've got, given it's the 25th anniversary next year, I'd be surprised if they don't do something special.
Rumours have it that the anniversary this year next year is going to be a remake.
Well, if that's the case, give us Gold and Silver remake.
No, Diamond and Pearl.
I'd actually be happy with either, but
Alex, as long as I ain't that fucking Pokemon Unite.
Oh god, I hope that never comes.
It's terrible. I lost my absolute shit. Anyway. Okay, so good shout, though, Alex. Pokemon Pearl, very, very good choice of game. Right, I'm going to jump forward a couple of generations for me. I could go to Grand Theft Auto series. There's several great games in there. I could go to the Hitman series. I'm going to go to a little game called Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Yes!
Yes!
You're brilliant.
I'm saying that to Alex. I'm not, because although I have a copy... Oh, you suck. I'm not, because... Only reason, because I haven't played it. But it's a game that I'd like to play. So at some point...
You can get it backwards compatible. It's not much money. Like, get it. Don't get Rare Replay, because the Nintendo 64 one isn't as good as Xbox version.
You have to play it. It's fantastic.
They really did polish the game and make it the mechanics a lot better on the Xbox version, but it is fantastic.
Christmas Eve is a tradition in my family to always play retro games. I may make that my retro game to play.
Get it. We will dedicate an episode to talking about that game.
Because I played that game a lot.
What I'm going to is the Ezio collection.
Yes.
Assassin's Creed 2, Brotherhood, and Revelations.
I can yes this one as well, because this is Assassin's Creed is my shit.
This collection, I recently bought it for Xbox. Xbox One remastered, but originally it came out on Xbox 360, and I've got it actually in physical copy as well somewhere. It's somewhere, but this game obviously had all three games, and it was perfect. You had Assassin's Creed 2, where we meet Ezio for the first time, and we realised that you can actually do more than just walk around looking like someone looking very sad the whole time. Altair, I've got love for, but no.
Even boring. I'm just going to do it now.
And then, of course, you actually see the graphic thing of seeing all the family being hung. So I'm like, yeah, lovely. And then you've got Brotherhood, of course, which just makes it easier. You're like, assassins, go. And they all just jump on them. It's fantastic. And Revelation, of course, is the conclusion to Ezio's story. And the way it ended quite nicely, of course. But you also play as Altair as well, which is really, really cool. I mean, I could look lyrical about this game, mate, but Assassin's Creed, I think, kind of speaks for itself.
And it always has. Assassin's Creed is one of those games. Assassin's Creed is that one game I buy continuously. Like, the only one I've ever been disappointed with, which people would hate me for. Well, actually, there's two of them. Unity, which people would agree with me on, because when it came out,
once they fixed it, it was fine.
When it came out, it was dreadful.
It was.
And I didn't enjoy Origins. A lot of people would have disagreed with me, but I didn't enjoy Origins.
And that's entirely your decision, Alex, on that one. A lot of people didn't like Assassin's Creed 3. A lot of people didn't like him.
I'm saying that now.
Three is probably the worst one of the series.
Black Flag. That's shit.
Black Flag. Who doesn't love pirates? And yes, Alex, everyone knows you have a D&D campaign with pirates, okay?
I wasn't going to say it, but I was going to say that was partly the inspiration of it.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, Kerry can say how much fun it is being a pirate.
It is pretty damn fun.
And episode 3 comes up next week, so tune in for that.
It is. It does indeed. But Assassin's Creed series in general is pretty awesome. I mean, they've had to reinvent things in recent time, a bit of RPG side of things.
I think that's a great thing, to be fair, because the older games, they were great, but they're always the same thing. And the RPG elements open up so much more possibility.
But yet, the Ezio story arc, which is 2 to Revelations, of course, I personally believe that is the best era of the series still. Because, I mean, I can vouch for it, Alex, every week. When I got the collection before the Series S and X, it was on offer. I got it for like £9. And I was just playing for Assassin's Creed 2. I quite quickly got halfway through the game. Quite quickly. It was so much fun.
The problem is, it's a bit too short, but games were relatively shorter back then. But Assassin's Creed 2 is really, I think, one of the best, if not the best game in the series.
It was a bona fide genius game. And if, as the new Assassin's Creed series on Netflix is anything to go by, I'm begging you, keep it in line with the games. Do not do another stupid game with Michael Fassbender. It didn't work.
Fingers crossed. I don't have high hopes, though.
If they're quite low, Alex, then they won't get dashed, will they? Right, Kerry, do you have your last pick?
Yes. I've spent the past 5 minutes swapping all my picks around with my honourable mentions, if I'm allowed them. But for my third, I'm going to pick Harvest Moon, More Friends of Mineral Town.
Is that the one where you put the DS and the Game Boy in, More Friends?
No, More Friends was the Game Boy version. More Friends was the version where you play as the girl farmer. Because back then, it's like you pick one version for boy farmer, one version for girl farmer. They are essentially the same thing. I have a very, very big soft spot for farm sim type games. Although I've never gotten into Stardew Valley, oddly enough. Everyone tells me it's great, but I haven't really gotten into it myself. Anyway, for a wholesome farming game, I mean, Alex and I have done a whole spiel on it. The new Story of Seasons, which was essentially a remake of this game.
Yeah.
I love this game. For such a wholesome farming game, it was oddly violent at times. I mean, if you played the male version, one of the marriage candidates was a full-blown alcoholic. This game has a 3+ rating. And you could go to church and go to the confessional booth, and the priest had some really, really weird priorities. Because you could say, I beat my animal with a hammer. And he'd be like, that's okay, you're cool. I overslept one morning, God will punish you.
It's a questionable 3+.
It's just like, what the fuck?
It's a very questionable 3+, but it is a great game.
You know that scene in Harry Potter where Hermione says, we could get killed or worse, expelled. She's got us about her priorities.
That's literally this game. There's also a thing where everyone is super nice to you except the mayor. He's kind of a dick. And if you
what's his name, Tom Nook?
Close. It was Thomas. You could get this thing called gold lumber, which essentially was gold wood. And if you put it in your farm every day, right, for preface, you got this as a prize sometimes for winning festivals. If you put it in your farm every morning, 3 people would come in a line to tell you what an absolute douche waffle you are, how horrible you are flaunting your wealth, what a terrible person you are.
Basically,
eventually the mayor comes and stole it from you.
Basically, that's most old-fashioned villages in Cornwall. That's one of the dazzles to Cornwall. If you think you can be modern, that your old-fashioned neighbours next door will tell you how awful of a person you are. And that is Cornwall in a nutshell.
I've lived here since I was like 5 years old, I can confirm.
That does sound like what Tom Nook would react as well if you were displaying all your wealth on your island in Animal Crossing. Definitely. Like you can't have more money than me.
Yeah. Also, I feel like the villagers look down on me because I married the Drifter, but none of their business.
I mean, I think if I look back at my version of it, I married the one whose special needs, really.
Which one was that?
Popuri.
Yeah, Popuri was literally, she made you feel a bit skeevy because she is like a young child in a grown woman's body. It's like, please stay the fuck away from me. Yeah, Alex married the child and I married the Drifter.
Oh, God.
I mean, we didn't marry the alcoholic.
Karen was great. Her name was Karen.
And her dad doesn't like you unless you buy stuff from his convenience store. Literally, he hates you until you start buying stuff.
It's like, you here to buy stuff? No. Well, fuck off then.
Oh, don't forget, this game's a 3+.
This game is a 3+.
Oh, and elderly people normally die in it as well.
Oh, and animals can actually die in this one.
Yeah, you come outside in some of the newer versions, it'd be like your barn collapsed in the storm and killed all your cows or all your chickens.
That was in the DS version, you could make your barns out of straw. It could collapse on a sunny day, killing all your animals inside.
A wolf could come onto your farm and eat your chickens.
Yeah, so you used to have to attack it with your hammer. Yeah,
it's a 3+.
These games are so family friendly and wholesome.
You guys sound like you had an absolute blast.
It was good fantastic. Fun.
Oh, you could also marry a mermaid in one of them.
Yeah, you could. Or you could marry a mute princess who lived in the mines.
Because she had her voice stolen by a witch, and you could also marry that witch.
You could also marry the witch. You could marry the harvest goddess. People thought you were a lunatic. It's like, I married the spirit that lives in the pond. It's like, no, you didn't.
To be fair, Alex is a lunatic, but...
And the new story of seasons is coming out next year.
Which looks exciting. And me and Kerry will be back on kicking Matt off to talk about that one.
Okay, I could do it. Every now and again, I do need a week off. It's fine.
And this one's not a remake.
I mean, that would be a good thing because the remake was far too small for the money you wanted.
Oh, yeah. I paid an arm and a leg for that, and basically I got Game Boy game with better graphics.
Yeah, it's a full-price brand new game for a remake with new graphics, and that is the biggest issue with it. But
also, nobody's
I think we've rambled on enough about Harvest Moon.
Last point, nobody's rude to you in the new version. I miss that.
That is true. People used to be really rude to you, and it was quite funny.
It was.
They feel like that. As we got later into games, the editing team was like, should we actually make this game more 3+able? And they were like, yeah, we probably should make it more 3+able.
Right, Alex, first of all, thank you, Kay. That was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Alex, what is your final choice?
One that I'm sure you'll agree with me on, Matt. Halo Combat Evolved.
Do I agree?
If you don't agree, I will drive up to Clapton and take your Xbox off of you, because we said that and played.
Do I agree? I think, of course, I agree, Alex. This was not just the first main IP for Xbox in the day. This was also let's face it. This was the shooter which everyone then tried to copy. Halo and Bungie, when they created, of course, did a phenomenal job. And when, of course, eventually they evolved it, pun intended, when they did the remaster, as it were, and you could press the, as you've heard on the previous episodes, of course, when we talked about Halo 1, pressing the view button so you can change the view, as it were, old or new. It's beautiful. We must have waited the good. We had to play like for 3 hours at a time of this game. And me and Alex would just stand there staring into the horizon for must have been about half an hour to 45 minutes.
Yeah, literally, as you press the select button, swap between the original graphics and the remaster graphics. Because they didn't do much, but it was such a huge difference, the original graphics. This was the first shooter game that I played, and this is what got me into all the shooters that I do enjoy.
Mm.
Shooters are good fun, because they let you take out your anger on something that isn't Matt.
I appreciate that. I really, really do. Halo, the only problem Halo has ever had
is that you can't aim down your sight.
That was one.
And that sucks to drive Warthogs.
Yes, the Warthog steering. Thank goodness they corrected that for when you actually got it in Forza Horizon. Thank goodness.
I thought you were going to say Halo Ball. It's like, they did not correct it. They literally just gave you a handbrake button to do handbrake turns.
Which is more than I thought you'd get, I'll be honest.
To be fair, the driving in that game is quite fun. Like, the fact you control, you don't have a throttle, you use the fun stick to steer and use the throttle at the same time.
Mm.
I think it's so unique to Halo, which is why they've never changed it. I think that is the reason for it.
Hmm. That's fair enough.
That's more or less it that I've got on that one. It's just a fantastic game, and if you haven't played it, get the Master Chief Collection and play them all, because they are fantastic games.
Have you ever played it, Kerry?
My experience of Halo games is watching Alex play it, admittedly. It does look fun, though.
Well, maybe at some point, Alex should let you have a try.
To be fair, I think you can split screen it, can you? The Master Chief Collection can split
screen. You can local split screen, yes.
Me, you, Chris, and Kerry do some multiplayer.
I mean, next spring I am planning to get an Xbox. I think it's time I joined the Xbox crew, but...
Yay.
You would be very much welcome. Shira Beans would be very much welcome.
I hope I can have that as my tag.
Do you know what? You could. I'm pretty sure you could. Right. My final pick. There is so many games I could have gone for here. Mass Effect.
I didn't think of that.
Metal Gear, I could have gone for that. I could have gone for Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. I could have gone for the original series of The Walking Dead on Xbox 360 version, of course.
Bring tears to my eyes again.
I could have done all of those, and they would all have been very, very worthy. Which, see, that's the thing, is they try and decide what I'd want to go for. It's like trying to choose between your own children at times, and I'm aware that I'm stalling for time right now.
Honorable shout out to every game you did just mention, though, because they are all fantastic games and fantastic series.
I mean, if you can't pick one, isn't that the point of having an honorable mentions list?
I mean, trying to choose one was hard, but The one I'm going to go for is a game for the Sega Dreamcast.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
And it also ended up on GameCube. And eventually, and it was ported in the end to Xbox 360. Now, the reason why I've gone for the GameCube and Dreamcast version is because it had a certain soundtrack by The Offspring. Of course, you may have heard of The Offspring, the band. I'm pretty sure Kerry has. She's nodding.
Yeah.
Alex, I don't know if he's heard or not. I was there to play this game in physical form at EGX last year, Alex. It's Crazy Taxi.
Oh, I didn't play this, but I watched you play it.
It's crazy.
It was interesting.
It's insane. And this is the game, Alex, which spawned a lot of copycats, one of which was Simpsons Hit and Run.
No! Don't make me say... Don't make me fight you. Simpsons, I mean, you're right, but... I just want to interrupt first quickly. His incredible show is amazing.
Was it? I know Chris takes the game first. I'm fighting the case for it. I'm being heckled.
Chris's incredible show is amazing. I just had to say that.
Chris's incredible show is amazing, yes. Literally incredible. Trevor's gone. Yes, okay. Crazy Taxi, Alex. The soundtrack is what made it as much as the game itself.
And it was, to be fair, when we were playing it, you were playing that and I was playing Resident Evil, the original, and I couldn't, and I died on the first zombie.
Exactly. But in recent years, Crazy Taxi just hasn't had the same soundtrack when it's been ported. I know it's a rights issue and all these sorts of things, but a good game has to have all of the soundtracks it had. It hasn't got that, it just loses something. I mean, for example, the soundtrack for Halo, for example, that is iconic, yeah? If they changed that for you wouldn't be playing it, you wouldn't enjoy it the same.
No. What they've ever done with something like Halo is just up the modernization of the soundtrack. Never changed.
Exactly, things like that. Crazy Taxi. And to be fair, Hit and Run from Simpsons technically followed Road Rage. To be fair, Road Rage was first from The Simpsons, which was a complete ripoff of Crazy Taxi. Hit and Run was more of a homage to that, whilst incorporating stuff from other areas. So it's not a complete ripoff, I will concede. But Crazy Taxi. I can't think of a better game to play. I mean, you can still play it in arcades when they're open. You can still play it back to compatibility on Xbox 360, on Xbox console. You can play it, obviously, on the GameCube. I believe you can get it on the eShop, unless... is Chris going to correct me here? No, he's not. Okay, so Crazy Taxi is a game that I would recommend everyone goes and plays. I would play the Gina, because, let's face it, she's amazing. Yeah, and there's even a secret code we can actually put in, so they are, I believe, they're in some kind of, pedal Zamboni, which is even funnier.
That's what new games have lost. In old games, you put in certain codes in some games, and you got extra stuff. That was always fun. And they took that away in newer games, and I don't understand why.
It's called DLC, Alex, you've got to pay for it.
I know, but it's not fair. Old games are better than new games. I'm just going to say that now.
I remember with Alex's original Xbox, he had Project Gotham with it. Do you remember the one you put in the code to get the F50 right off the bat?
Yeah, that was a fun car game.
We used to drive it to the top of the hill, rev up, and see how far we could make the car fly through the air from driving off the top of the hill.
That was a fun game. That was one of my original Xbox games.
It was one of the ones you got with it.
My original games was Crash Bandicoot, Project Gotham, and I think Simpsons Hit and Run. I think
Simpsons Hit and Run came later. You got like a Sonic collection.
It might have been the Sonic collection, but Simpsons Hit and Run is the shit. I I completely agree with you. The Road Simpsons Road Rage is a complete rip-off of.
It's still enjoyable.
I didn't like it. I'm going to say that now. I didn't enjoy Road Rage.
It was still enjoyable. And if you played on certain days, you got special cards. For example, you got Mr. Plow. That's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow. On Christmas Day.
I think the problem is, if you play Simpsons Hit and Run first, Simpsons Road Rage doesn't live up to it.
I think that's the thing with a lot of games, Alex, to be fair. If you play GTA Vice City, for example, and then go back and play GTA 3, you will not have the same appreciation for what that game was. If you play in order as they come out, you're always going to have appreciation for the ones that came before it. Although there are some occasions where you will go back and play the older ones and they're better, and that's not always a good thing.
That happened with, like, not the playing the older one, but that's what it was like with Mass Effect. I played 3, and then I could never play the other two previous because it just didn't live up to the hype I was hoping again after playing Mass Effect 3. Though the Legendary Edition in spring next year, which is probably going to be my game of the year, is going to live up to the hype.
For the benefit of the tape, Alex just got the biggest boy, like schoolboy smile on his face because he can't wait.
No, that is going to be the shit. Like, I'm buying that day one.
And that's him buying an EA game, people. He hates EA. Right.
EA's not that good, but Mass Effect is the shit. I'm even going to say Mass Effect Andromeda was good once they fixed it. And a lot of people despise that game, and they take the piss out of it because it doesn't live up to Mass Effect 3, but it's not a terrible game.
Mm.
It's got good storytelling, it's got much improved combat that Mass Effect 3 would have been amazing with, but it wasn't possible back then. But it just gets a lot of shit because of when it first came out, it was a disaster. Which I feel like a lot of newer games do.
Which is sometimes justified, but sometimes not. Right. Let's go through some honourable mentions then. Kerry, you say you've got a list of them. Let's have a look. See what you've got.
Okay. Right. Bear with me for a minute. At the top, I've got Animal Crossing Wild World, the most pointless game in existence, but still one of the best.
Why pointless?
I'm saying pointless in comparison to like New Horizons, because I've been thinking back and I was like, what did I actually spend all those hours doing on Wild World? Because you can't build anything, and your only real objectives are to upgrade your house and Nook's Cranny. I could be remembering wrong, so.
I suppose you could be, you both.
And you still have to take a quiz to get your hair done.
Oh, that sucked.
Green explosion hair, as we used to call it.
Wow. Take a quiz to get your hair done. That's fantastic.
Next is Bomberman Tournament, another Game Boy Advance game that always felt a little bit like a rip-off of Pokemon. Because you had to collect the Carabons, which looked like Pokemon, and battle them. I never understood this game, and I played it about a year ago again, and I still don't understand it. I just enjoy it.
As long as you enjoy it, Kerry, then that's the whole purpose of this show this week.
Yeah. Shout out to Pokemon Stadium 1 and 2 for being awesome.
Pokemon Stadium, I remember playing that in-game back in London. Actually, I believe it was in Hamleys, actually.
Wow.
I remember playing it in Hamleys. It was like you could rent a team of Pokemon and you could play it. It was on the N64 version. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And that's the only time I've actually been able to, at the time, but I'd played a Pokemon game where I could literally have anyone I wanted on my team, sort of thing. It was obviously open play, so anyone could play, but one sort of thing. And I never got a copy of that game. I've even tried to find it on Emulator Bad Map, and I couldn't actually, couldn't find one.
I mean, it's ridiculously expensive now, especially Stadium 2. Right, sorry, my list isn't that long on it.
It's okay.
Yoshi's Island for Game Boy Advance, first Game Boy Advance game I ever owned. I was scared of things on the fourth part of the first world. I was a very scared child.
What are you scared of?
There was these spiky things on sticks that went round and round.
That's okay. You can be scared of that.
I was very young when I got this game.
Then you can be scared of it. It's fine.
Yeah, I completed it as I got older. Mario Kart 64. Best Rainbow Road, went on, in my opinion, went on forever.
I thought you about that, but okay.
Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Red Rescue Team. That's the first. I think that was one of the first Mystery Dungeon games.
Okay.
Nintendogs. The DS.
Oh,
version.
That was the shit.
That was the shit. And the mic. I don't know if I just had a really shitty DS microphone, but no dog I had would listen to me. Or maybe they just hated my voice, who's to say?
Interesting.
The next one. It was a game called Sheep.
Okay.
The objective is literally herding sheep, which turn out to be aliens. It's a very simple premise, but it's weirdly addictive.
Okay, cool.
You have to herd your sheep and make sure they don't get run over by tractors and things like that. They awesome. Don't listen to you.
Oh dear.
I'm almost at the end now, honest.
Okay.
Both Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, Legend of Zelda, fantastic games.
I take your word for that one. I've only played two Legend of Zelda games, so I can't speak.
You played Legend of Zelda on a horse. That will never die.
Nope, and it's going to be out on the 1st of December, the Christmas cracker. Thank you, Alex, for reminding me.
Sonic Heroes. I liked that one.
Was that the one where you had a team of three?
Yes.
Yeah. That was such a good game.
It was fun.
Mm.
I feel like you heartily disagree with that choice.
I'm only thinking of Sonic Forces.
That
was not so good.
And because this whole franchise of games kept me entertained for God knows how many hours, but this is the newest one that's below the cutoff date, Sims 2.
The Sims will always entertain people, and it's amazingly meta sometimes.
I'm not sure what my list of games says about me now. That I've read it out.
It's actually quite a nice broad selection of games, to be fair, Kerry.
I was never really a person for like first-person shooters and that type of thing.
Everyone had their own personal choice of what they like.
And even though it's already been mentioned, shout out to Conker's Bad Fur Day, because it is fantastic.
I almost feel bad about doing that earlier, but I don't, so... Okay, so Alex, your honourable mentions.
So my list isn't quite as long, but I still like it. I've put Call of Duty 2, the big red one, which I believe was like a smaller version of, what do you call it? It's like what Miles Morales is to Spider-Man PS4.
Ooh,
it's like a little extension.
Oh, that's a deep cut, Alex.
That was a good game. That was my first Call of Duty game as well. Legend of Zelda Spirit Tracks, which was a DS game. Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag. Fantastic game. Best game ever. One of the biggest maps they've ever done as well. Though it was mainly ocean. But it did take a while to cross it. A special game, in my opinion, that I played back on the 360, known as Cars 2. Which was such a fun racing game, because they featured all power-ups in really interesting tracks.
For the benefit of the tape, it's still in his collection.
It is fantastic! Forza Motorsports 1. A game where you put in a code, and you could either play the game as normal, put in one code, and have 999,999,999 gold, but you had to unlock the cars back then, like tiers. Or you could put in the other code, which unlocked all the tiers, but then you had no money. So it was a bit of a catch-22 on either side.
The Simpsons game which...
Hit and Run.
Yay!
Conker's Bad Fur Day. Or / Live and Reloaded, because Live and Reloaded featured the war mini-game,
which was fun. That was fantastic.
The Walking Dead Season 1. There was no... That is the first game that's ever made me cry. I cannot watch that final scene without tearing up. That is just... does me in. And I'm someone who doesn't cry.
I can confirm Alex does not cry at anything. When we went to see Avengers Endgame, he was the only one not crying in the cinema. I swear to God.
What?
Does it sound better? I found Natasha's death worse than Tony's.
No, on rewatch, I get that.
I did have the same problem.
I had feels for Natasha's death, but I didn't have feels for Tony's death because I kind of felt it was coming and it was the best.
We all knew it
when. Yeah, it's like, that is so happening. And they did it perfectly. Pokemon Platinum. Pokemon Pearl did it better for me because it was the first of the Gen 4 I played in. It was the first Pokemon game I'd done 100%. But Pokemon Platinum polished off what Diamond and Pearl didn't have.
Mm.
Pokemon Stadium 2, because I didn't really play the first one that much. Super Mario 64 on the Nintendo 64.
Oh.
That was the shit. That was my first Mario game.
Good shit.
All the Halos that are in the bracket. Halo 1, Halo 2, Halo 3. Possibly Halo 4, I don't know. That was a 360 game. But I don't know whether that's quite old enough to classify. And the shit that is the big shit, Dragon Quest IX on the Nintendo DS.
Wait, was that in the bracket?
It's sort of in the bracket, I think, because it came on the Nintendo DS.
If it's on the DS, I'll allow it.
You told me anything before 2005. Fuck, my list could have been so much broader.
That's what Matt told me originally, but we sort of extended that to the 360 and PS3 back. But the Nintendo DS was in that bracket, I think, so that's why I picked it.
But yeah, massively agreeing with Alex, Dragon Quest IX was the good shit.
That was my first... JRPG.
If memory serves me, Alex, you rebuilt a PC just to play that game again.
I didn't rebuild just to play the PC.
Your words were, I rebuilt that PC and that's all I've done on it.
That's all I did on it because I was buying it for new games because it ran new games. It ran basically anything, but it's the same situation on the Xbox. Valhalla's out. I'd rather play Banjo-Tooie. On the computer, I could play anything. I'd rather go back to an emulator of Dragon Quest IX, because Dragon Quest IX is the older game that was the better shit than what we get nowadays.
Well, tied in, Alex, but we'll say your list is nearly done because it's nearly New Year's.
Let me double check my 30 meter long list. No, that's it.
Oh yay, is it? Okay, fair enough. Right, okay, I've got a few I could have picked. Obviously, I've gone through a few of them already. I'll give a non-mention a cameo. It was a good game back on the 360, of course. Another rare game. They always do good games. Obviously, the GTAs. I will mention Mega Drive game Batman Returns, the first video game I ever owned. That was mine. But thinking about it, there's only one game which we have mentioned yet which deserves this sort of treatment, which is Super Mario Kart, the original one. The original Super Mario Kart, which you can get...
I've never played it.
Which you can get now on the eShop on Nintendo Switch for free.
I'll have to look into that because I never played that before.
And it still holds up now, and not only that, you can even play it with other people who've got it across Nintendo internet, obviously. But it's also the hardest Mario Kart. If you want a challenge, this is the hardest Mario Kart. You earn your wins on this game.
So you must always come last then, because you don't do very well on the Nintendo Switch version.
I've won many races, Alex. I've won many. Chris can vouch for that one.
Well, we'll see.
But the original Mario Kart, of course, was the first real spin-off for Mario, and well, obviously gone from strength to strength to a stage where Mario Kart 8 is one of the best games of all time. Mario Kart as a collection is one of the best franchises ever. And it was only a minute of a spin-off. Not bad, eh?
That's a fair point.
I could list loads of other games which are which for me have been retro games and have been really good games. I mean, Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney series, of course. The original games were all on the Game Boy. I could mention all of those. They've been remade for DS, Switch, Xbox, PlayStation. But I think we can leave that list there. Anyone out there? How about you, Atus, at Game Junkies Pod? Tell us what you've been playing instead of your brand new game. Because tell you what, we all do it. Right. So, with that being said, what have you been playing, Alex? Is it just Banjo-Tooie, or have you been playing anything else?
Obviously, I've been playing Banjo-Tooie endlessly at the moment. I just kind of got bored of Valhalla. I don't know if it... I think it's to do with the protagonist. Like, I just think they're really bland. So I jumped from a few different games and I ended up stuck on Banjo-Tooie for ages. I just adore it.
You do know you can gender swap mid-game, right?
Yeah, but...
So they're always boring then?
No, I've swapped a few times and I actually prefer the male protagonist in this one. But wow. I don't know. I just find them really bland.
If you do, you do, Alex. Nothing be helped in that one. If you do, you do.
Which is sort of why I've taken a break from it. Oh, and also, of course, D&D, which is weekly. Which yeah. I always mention because it's a video. It's a game and we always play it.
We so do. It's worth we mentioning. Do. Very good, very good plugging of our material, Alex. Kerry, what have you been playing recently?
If I say it, I'm going to be shouted at by somebody.
Just say it. I promise you, Ellie will shout at you a little bit.
Okay.
What have you been playing?
I've been replaying South Park, The Fractured Butthole, because I really, really love South Park. That's all I can say.
Spontaneous booty.
Good day. You should have heard Alex laugh the first time he saw that part.
Literally, one of the bosses is a fat stripper called Spontaneous Booty.
We're not.
She crushes you with her massive booty.
We're talking like 450 pounds fat.
Oh, so not far from what my weight used to be. That's fine.
I'm gonna sit on you.
I'm gonna crush you with my cheeks.
That game is amazing.
And I'm going to stop now because I can talk about this game for ages.
Okay, it's a fantastic game. I didn't complete the final DLC, though. I still haven't got around to that.
Is that all you've been playing, Kerry, or have you been playing anything else?
I've been picking at Animal Crossing, mostly because mine and Alex's youngest siblings are getting Switches for Christmas. So we're all going to have family Animal Crossing.
Well, that'd be kind of fun in a way. I'm guessing you'd be invading islands and chopping down trees and digging more holes, Alex.
Getting stunk. Oh, that's a shout out to once when me and Chris dug up basically the entire front half of the island on Matt's Island, just dug up the entire front half of his beach.
That's kind of rude.
He came down to his beach and the entire front half is just like.
They spent 20 minutes digging the entire beach up.
Because Matt was, I don't know what Matt was busy doing, but he was sidetracked with something else. And Chris was on one beach, I was on the other beach, and we just dug up the whole thing.
And the thing is, I get so into the game, is I actually, when something happens, I do the full emote. So I literally wandered all the way down there, and I actually was like, I did the full shocked emoji, because let's face it, I wasn't expecting to see basically the Somme appear on my beach.
It was a lot of holes. Alex sent me a picture of his handiwork.
Yeah, it's only Chris, it's on Twitter. So it's there for all the ages. Fantastic. I've been playing a bit of Animal Crossing as well, of course, because we've just had Turkey Day, of course. So I got all the Turkey Day stuff.
Did you feed any chicken villagers turkey, though?
You don't get a chance to.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It's Turkey Day.
It's priced, Alex.
It's so awkward that they featured a Turkey Day. Like, I don't wonder why that came into perspective. Like,
it is a
Turkey
bit
Day for a village full of animal people.
It's Turkey Day, but you basically serve them all fish. Huh. So, you know, go figure.
Okay, that makes sense. I haven't played Animal Crossing in so long. I played it 5 months ago, and then I jumped on for about 2 minutes the other day.
And of course,
Elvis was like, "You've been gone for 5 months. We all assumed you were dead." I was like, "You know what? I'm bored. Bye."
See you next year.
And of course, Keaton from your island, Alex, has settled in very well. Thank you very much.
Keaton's there.
Yeah.
He moved it ages ago.
Yes, he's doing very well. He's walking around in a maid's outfit.
I love Keaton. He's absolutely fantastic.
He's walking around in a maid's outfit.
I let him go because I wanted Boomer. If you haven't had Boomer in your village, you should get him. He's amazing.
I had Keaton, and he kept making questionable remarks to my player.
Keaton is doing very well on my island. He's clearly reformed his ways. Of course, the next part, of course, which is coming from Animal Crossing, is of course Christmas is coming soon, but not on Edenoi, as I call my island. It's actually going to be Toy Day. So on the 24th of December, you have to deliver presents for Santa.
I'm going to give a present to Sher because he's like a kid. Oh my God, he literally is a kid. He's a young goat.
Yes, very good. Sherb is also, I believe, the number three villager in the entire world in terms of value on Nook Miles tickets. You could probably get 10 million Nook Miles tickets for him.
I didn't actually do it as a status symbol, but I've ended up with like half of the new villagers. Alex can confirm. The other day I spent ages going, "For God's sake," at my Switch because I was hunting for Dom. Because he's
indeed,
I wanted a jock villager, and he's the only cute one.
Dom is the only jock villager worth having. Changed my mind. Though Bam is good. Shout out to Bam. I do like him.
Shout out to Teddy as well because I love bears.
What else have I been playing? I've been playing a bit of Skyrim. I've been replaying Resident Evil 2 with all the Infinity launchers. And let me tell you, Mr. X is
you
not...
can speedrun that game so easily.
Yeah, I have been.
I have done speedruns before, and I complete the game in under 2 hours once, I believe. Right.
I have been playing good fun. I've been playing more FIFA, obviously. F1 2020, I've been playing it with the enhancements. It's been very good fun. Valhalla, dipped in and out of course. Little Hope, of course, the sequel to Madame Medan. It's well worth playing if you get a chance to, because, well, it's a horror game. And what better than a horror game? And you've got Don't Play Alone mode, where you can play together with people on local co-op, or you can play it by yourself if you want to shoot yourself up. So
What console's this on? It sounds fun.
Xbox.
Oh, damn it.
It's also on PlayStation, I believe, as well.
It's free. It's on Game Pass, isn't it?
Man of Medan is on Game Pass, yes. Well worth checking out.
I might check it out because I'm slowly getting back into horror.
Horror games are great.
Resident Evil sort of did that for me, though I didn't find Resident Evil that scary, to be fair.
Resident Evil 7, Alex, is on the Game Pass. It's first person as well. So that'd be right up your street.
I'm still wanting to play Little Nightmares. It looks so good, and I keep seeing it on special offer, but I just don't get round to purchasing it.
Black Friday deals are coming to an end soon, but they have the Little Nightmares double pack, I believe, is on the Black Friday deals. I am now just quickly searching for it now to tell you how much it is, because I haven't had my Xbox open. The Little Nightmares Complete Collection right now is available for $5.99.
Yikes.
Which is 75% off. Currently, Little Nightmares on its own is $15.99 in the UK. So get your Black Friday deal now. You'll get it for 75% off.
That is solid. Black Friday deals never seem to be as good as they used to be, but some games are really cheap.
Mm. I can't tell you how long it's going to be out for. So, guys, it ends in 6 days out of recording. So, when it's dropping 5 days' time. So, you've got until, I'd say, the 1st of December, guys, to get cracking. And you'll get both games for that price.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all. Okay, so thank you very much, Kerry, for joining us for this episode of Game Junkies. Could you like to do a little spiel before your outro?
Is this the normal one we slam at the end of every Dungeon Junkies episode?
Yep. Where can we find you?
Where can we find you, effectively, yes.
Okay, I am Shira Beans on Twitter and Instagram. Occasionally, I mean to post about weight loss stuff, but apparently I never seem to get around to it, so...
Everyone do follow Shira Beans because she's doing an amazing job as a DM as well, and some artwork may be coming your way eventually. You never know.
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to seeing that. Alex, where can people find you?
Spiderbread UK, though it might be changing because I realise that title really isn't fitting for me. But at the same time, it is fitting for me.
It's fitting but unfitting. It's fantastic, of course.
It might change soon. I haven't quite decided.
Obviously, you can follow me at Madtech UK. You can follow us at Dungeon Junkies for our D&D show, which is moving to Fridays from next week, of course. Yes, we are going prime time with Dungeons and Dragons. It's really quite exciting, quite scary at the same time.
Catch up on Pirates next week.
Well, this is an honour.
Indeed. And of course, you can follow the main show at Game Junkies Pod. Thank you to our sponsor, Triumph Chairs. Don't forget to use the code Game Junkies, all caps, at the checkout to get your 10% discount. Tell them that Matt and Alex sent you. Thank you again, Kerry. As always, you are an absolute treat and a privilege to have on this show.
Thank you for having me. Sorry my honourable mentions list was so long.
Don't matter.
It's all good.
Guests get away with having that.
Yeah, guests get away with it. I don't. On that note, thank you for celebrating our second anniversary. I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex.
We're the Game Junkies. We are out of here.
This podcast is a Matt Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.